Hello, everyone. Let's see, get all situated here. How's everybody doing tonight? Come in and say hi. Let's see, participants. Where's my chat? There's the chat. Hi, Adrian. Thank you. It's like the PNP colors. That's why I like it. My PNP scarf. All right. We got some hands raised. So we'll get started here in a second. So welcome, everybody. I'm thinking, is this anybody's first Zoom call, like first live Zoom call? Let me know if it is. But if not, I will still go ahead and review everything with you all. In terms of be sure and, oh, Lori, hi, my friend from Arkansas. I'm in Arkansas. Lori, it's crazy. We live 30 minutes from each other and we haven't seen each other in like years. It's crazy. Lauren says it's the first one she showed up on time. Well, there's no on time around here, right? You can show up whenever you want. And then this is always recorded. So you always get the replay. Yeah, Lori, Corinne was talking about y'all going to Vegas in a little while. So that's fun. So anyway, be sure your chat is set to all panelists and attendees so we can see your chat for sure. And oh my gosh, we got a lot of people lined up to coach. So I'm going to go ahead and get started because I want to get through as many people as I can tonight. I'm hoping that the sun is kind of coming down, but hopefully it won't. It doesn't shine right through this window, so it should be all right with a, shouldn't be too bad of a glare. All right, let's get started. So we've got Grace, R. Harris, and Azizi up first, and then I'll just keep everybody updated on where you are in the queue. So Grace, you are up first. Let's get going. There you are. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. What's going on?
So it's my first time being coached.
Yay! Congrats.
but I.
Oh. Are you there?
Can you see me?
Yes. Okay.
I'm back. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to be coached on anxiety, okay. More specifically on caring a lot about what other people think of me.
Okay.
And like these past few days, I've just noticed that I've had a lot more anxiety, like going into Target or just being at work or just about what other people think of me. And I know it has thoughts or things. I've done a lot of TDL or not TDLs, but models on it.
Mm-hmm.
And just things about how it has to do with, you know, my own self-confidence and my own self-worth and self-love. But I just want to reach out.
Okay. So what do you think the solution is to this?
To not being anxious?
Yes.
Not caring what other people think.
Well, the easy answer is to change your thoughts, right?
You're right.
First off though, I need to kind of correct myself because it doesn't have to be a problem to begin with. Right? I mean, all of us feel anxiety sometimes. Corinne talks about how she wakes up with it a lot, you know, sometimes. And so that's the first thing is to recognize that it's totally okay that you have it to begin with. It doesn't have to be a problem. It doesn't have to be something that you want, you know, that you need to get rid of every time it comes up. Because is that what you kind of think now or?
Well, I hear that and I've done that. Like, about a week ago, I had some anxiety at Target in the checkout line. I realized that I didn't have my Target card, but I had my normal card, my normal debit card, and I knew 100% sure I had enough money on it to cover it, but I still had this thought that my card's going to be declined, it's going to be so embarrassing and all these things, and I was just like, don't judge these thoughts. Just let them come in. They're not going to hurt you, you know? And, I just still felt anxious until they ran my card and it was fine.
Yeah.
And then like, it's just, I went to Target again the other day and I had to go to Sunfresh, and I think that quarantine, I have a lot of thoughts about the fact that quarantine has been really nice, in the fact that obviously I know that it's affecting a lot of different people in negative ways, but for me as an introvert, it's been nice not having to go anywhere. And so I haven't been putting myself in situations where I would be around a lot of people. But I started an Instagram page where I was kind of just documenting my journey. And so now I'm getting constant feedback. And I think this has kind of brought up a lot of the, I mean, I'm not getting any negative feedback, but it's like making me seek that approval to where I didn't do that before. And I don't like that. And I'm like, well, I could just delete the page, but that just gets rid of the circumstance, not my thoughts around it.
So what do you really want to model here? Do you want to model the target or do you want to model the feedback on the Instagram page?
I just want to model anxiety. I know that anxiety is normal. I know that it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's been really increased since I started this Instagram page, I guess you could say.
Been increased because of your thoughts, right? What do you make it mean when someone gives you, let's just go ahead and do this one, feedback on Instagram. So what? You're on feed, you're on Instagram. Going to be all kinds of people on there. They're going to give you feedback. Everybody's got an opinion, right?
Right.
So what? So what are you thinking that creates anxiety for you?
I think that since I can literally open up an app on my phone and get people telling me I'm doing a great job, I'm doing a good job, and getting all the hearts and the likes, that people are constantly judging me because I'm putting myself out there to be judged, but then I can't completely turn that off and go out into the world and not feel like people are now judging me in the world the same way. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, you can, you do have the power to turn that off, but here's the deal. It's like, so what? So people are, you know, a lot of us are judging each other, whether it's in person, online, it's all about what you make that mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you said, instead of changing the circumstance, how do you want to think about it that maybe creates a different feeling for you or not? But maybe start with the feeling line. How do you want to feel about people judging you, whether it's online, in Target, wherever?
Yeah.
Because you judge people too, right?
All the time.
All the time. We all do.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah. I mean, so the feeling I want to feel is calm in those moments when I'm feeling anxious.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but what's the thought here that's creating anxiety for you? People are judging me. So,
yeah,
but I want to go a little bit, I want to go a layer deeper. So what? What's the problem about that? What's the issue with that? Why is that a problem?
Well, I don't feel like there's a problem except for now I'm feeling anxious. That's where I'm getting stuck, is I'm trying to isolate the thought that's making me feel anxious about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm having trouble finding it.
Go ahead.
Well, I just feel like if I can realize that, sorry, I just got a text. My son hit his head. I think he's okay.
Okay.
I feel like if I can realize the thought, then I can change it or make it something that benefits me. But I'm having...
Yeah, you want to just start with awareness first.
Yeah.
Could it be something like they shouldn't be doing that? Or
no, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I'm putting myself out there to get feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I understand that and I acknowledge that,
mm-hmm.
but
what is it about other people, you know, having opinions about you, other people thinking things about you that creates anxiety? Maybe go back to your talking about being an introvert. Why are you an introvert?
Because I like who I am when I'm by myself. Okay. And then,
so why does that mean that you don't like yourself when you're with other people?
Well, I feel like I can be myself when I'm with other people, but I feel like whenever I'm out or even like with my husband or with my son or something like that, I feel like I have to be someone else.
Why?
Depends on the situation, I guess, but just to make sure that I'm being liked. Yeah.
So maybe it's something about when you put yourself out here, like on Instagram, everyone's not going to like you.
Yeah, but I feel like I've modeled that, and I feel like I'm okay I'm a doomsdayer, right? Like I plan for the worst situation and I make myself be okay with it. And so before I even thought about posting my journey on Instagram with my weight loss and everything like that, I knew there was going to be hatred, and I knew that I was going to be okay with that.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not making sense.
No, I just think you're still just working on, I mean, there's the anxiety is coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And I just think for you, it's just being okay with just continuing to just stay curious about it and be like, so this is what I suggest that you do. You kind of keep this model, you know, open like this, right? And be sure that you have a clear circumstance and just keep this, you know, in mind. And the next time that you're actually feeling the anxiety, you're in the anxiety, I want you to really, if you can, kind of stop and do some journaling or just ask yourself, okay, what is going through my mind right now? What are the sentences going through my mind while I'm feeling this? Because I think that might help you just, because sometimes we're just not able to capture the thoughts, you know, after the fact. For whatever, because I mean, with anxiety, sometimes a lot of times the thoughts are going really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And you may not even see it. You know, I remember Corinne coaching someone on anxiety. Gosh, it's probably been a couple of years ago now. And I remember her talking about that, how it's just, you know, they're just running really, really fast. And that's what kind of can increase the anxiety. And so I think for you, it's just a matter of like, okay, oh, this is that feeling. Let me slow down for a minute. Let me interrupt this for a minute. And really, if I can figure out what's going on right now, what's going on in my head.
Okay.
And so, and just to recognize that, like, it's normal. It's normal to, you know, as you are doing this work that you're just, you know, you're practicing, it's normal to not be able to pull out the thoughts right away. And that's okay.
Yeah, no, that was a big thing for me. Like I would, whenever I first started this process, I couldn't hear my thoughts, yeah. Like not any of them.
Yeah.
I was like, am I broken? I don't have any thoughts.
No. And like and you realize how far you've come, right? With it.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
This is just your next thing to work on. This is just the next part of your journey. And so you just want to be sure and stay out of judgment of like, oh, I can't figure this out. I'm broken or something like that. No, it's just one that's going to take a little bit of time to figure out, to get really curious about. And, okay. But again, you've got to be from that place when you do feel the anxiety that you're not trying to turn it off. You're not trying to shut it down. You're just like getting really curious about it. And also another thing you can do, there's the feeling the feels worksheet that's part of No BS, mm-hmm. where you actually do an exercise when you're feeling a feeling and you think about how it feels in your body. And, you know, kind of you can really focus on kind of running through your body physically, and that can help you bring up the thoughts as well.
Okay.
Just when you're relaxed and you're not trying to resist it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll try
All
that.
All right. All right. Thank you. Well, let us know how it goes. Talk to you later. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good call, because that is something that probably a lot of y'all have experienced, and you may have thought that there was something wrong with you because you couldn't pull out a thought, or maybe you pulled out a thought, or you came up with a thought and you're like, no, that's not it. And so sometimes you got to just sit with models. Sometimes it's like you're not even, sometimes you fill out maybe the feeling, but it takes a while, takes a few days, a few weeks, whatever. Just sit with it. Don't be in such a hurry to just get it all filled out and checked off, you know, get the box checked off, right? That's not the purpose of models for sure. So, okay. All right. R. Harris is up next, then Azizi, and then Nina. Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
I see you can't see me.
Oh, Grace is back.
There we go.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on just a minute. Grace came on again for some reason. Let me take her off. Let's see. Hold on a minute. Okay. I removed her. Okay. Hope that was okay. All right. All right. What's your first name?
Rhonda.
Rhonda. Okay. Because that just says R. Harris. Yeah. And you look familiar. I think we've talked before, maybe.
Yes. I came on maybe three weeks ago or a month. I had issues with binging.
Okay.
And I was upset about it. But I'm doing better. I started the self-sabotage course and been working with that and felt like I was getting some headway with it. And I've been trying to get off the scale, but I keep getting it back out like I'm crazy. I'll put it in the closet and don't get it back out. And I'm sure everybody goes through that.
Yeah. So first off, don't call yourself crazy. Crazy, right? Yeah. I mean, it happens to everybody. I mean, it's an urge, and your urge to weigh is just like an urge for food. Okay. So like, just like, you know, when you go back and forth into the kitchen, right? Like, I want this, but I'm going to wait. I want this, I'm going to wait. It's the exact same thing, is the urge to weigh. So just see it that way. And that kind of keeps you out of judging where, you know, you're just working on this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to plan a binge for today, and I binged yesterday, and I'm starting to get the idea of when it's not planned, I'm eating behind my own back, like checking out.
Yeah.
And, so I had, I wrote some of this down. I'm nervous.
No, go ahead.
So I don't know if I should go ahead and plan another binge or wait till the itch gets bad and then plan it.
Why wouldn't you go ahead and do the one that you planned?
Because I'm scared of gaining weight.
Yeah. So that's what you want to like recognize. You want to be like, okay, I keep thinking that like, I don't want to do this because I might gain weight, but it's going to happen again anyway. Right.
Right.
And so definitely, you want to acknowledge that fear and be like, no, I'm not going to, you know, worry about that because I'm figuring out my binging. And so, and you know, there's a thing about how, like, I think we talked about this maybe on the call where it's like, you either, you know, you kind of got to decide, like, are you going to figure out your binging right now? Or are you going to lose weight? And right. So losing weight is not on the table right now.
Right.
You know, if you do, great. Or, you know, bonus. But we're just focusing on binging right now. And for you, that means going through with your planned binges for sure. Because that's how that's a learning tool, right? I mean, you can absolutely learn from an unplanned binge as well through your discovery worksheets and all that kind of stuff. But it's a separate thing. Like, those are two separate learning tools. And the planned binge is one that you absolutely want to use as well. They're both tools in your toolbox. And so, yeah, be sure, just be aware, because I was thinking, that's probably it. You're thinking, oh, well, if I binge yesterday, I shouldn't do this planned binge today. But but it's because you're connecting the binging with weight gain or weight loss, and they're two separate. Yeah. They're two separate things.
Okay. I did realize when I do binge, I don't think I can relax without food or alcohol. And I tried to think of thoughts for that, and I just have a hard time. I was wondering if you had any good things that tips.
Yeah. So what, I mean, can you think of a time when you've been relaxed without food or alcohol?
Oh, that's embarrassing. I don't know.
Oh, no, but that's not why I asked the question, but.
Relaxed. In the mornings. I'm relaxed in the mornings.
Okay, tell me about that. Why are you relaxed?
I get up and drink my coffee and, you know, watch TV and do chores and I guess maybe alone time. Okay. I don't know. It seems like I'm relaxed till about 3 or 4 o'clock, and then I think I get bored.
Mm. So really what happens is that your thoughts change, right? Your thoughts change because relaxed is a feeling and it comes from your thoughts. And so in the morning, and it would be really interesting for you to get up in the morning, like get up tomorrow morning and really watch your brain. And because it's probably something like, so in the mornings, you're probably thinking something like, you may just be thinking, I'm really relaxed. Or you might just be thinking like, I don't have anywhere to be, or I get to be by myself. What do you think? Do you know, you have any idea what it might be?
I think it's like I'm planning my day and I have all these fun hopes about the day. And then I guess I've been on vacation this week. So yesterday I have all these, I think I have all this big plan to get enough, another big plan to get the house clean. And because I'm going to have visitors next week. So I got up and I put some stuff on it. And then I was telling myself, okay, we're not going to go overboard. We're just going to do a few things. And then we're going to stop and rest, which is difficult. So once I get into it, I'll keep going and then get, I guess, take it too far. And then I'll stress myself out. It's like I'm stressing myself out, I guess. Because yesterday, I got everything done and then I made myself stop. I don't know.
I think it's something like, it's just a thought like I can do this, whether it's cleaning the house or whether it's, you know, following your plan, right? Or, you know? It's just like in the morning you have some sort of thought that's like, I can do this. This is doable for me. Let's just, you know, do something really realistic. But again, I want you to watch your thoughts and really journal what you're thinking when you feel relaxed in the mornings for sure. And so the thing is that you can practice these same thoughts, you know, all throughout the day, right? Because so what eventually happens is that your thoughts change, you know, at 2, 3 o'clock, maybe you aren't perfect with your plan or, you know, you don't get as much stuff done as you planned or whatever. And you have to change to maybe I can't do this or I knew I couldn't do this anyway, or it's the same as it always was. I screw up or whatever it is. You want to watch those thoughts too.
Yeah.
You want to just watch your thoughts all throughout the day, because I like to call it like your thoughts deteriorate over time. A day, if you're not like intentionally practicing them and reminding yourself of them through the day, they just like deteriorate and kind of fade away. And the ones that are easiest to access are the ones that are you know, a lot of times they're the crappy ones that are the ones that come back.
Yes, because I know I was in the car yesterday and I had got done. I was going to the store and I found a fruit market because I needed a green pepper. And I went in there and I impulse bought banana bread because it was on the counter and some bagels. And then it just all went to, it's like that just took it out.
Right. And so maybe if you had been practicing, you know, those thoughts ahead of time, you know, mm-hmm. would have not bought the stuff. And, you know, it's like, it's really just thinking about, and that's why we talk about like putting it on your phone or having sticky notes at different places to remind yourself of your, you know, your intentional thoughts that lead you to the feelings that you want.
Okay. Right? Okay.
You know, okay. So you got to become aware of them first. Like, I really want you to just really think about like, what is working for me in the mornings? Why do I feel so relaxed in the mornings? Why? And it's my thoughts. It's always my thoughts. And then how can I just keep thinking those throughout the day? So I'm not looking to food and drinks to relax in the evening. Right.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. And then I want you to still do that plan binge too. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll do it tomorrow.
On it and come and let us know how it goes. All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
See ya. Bye. Let's see. Okay. All right. Let's see. Somebody was asking something that I think was, So CTFAR is the model, Teresa, and that is all covered in phase two of No BS. So if you're new, you just may have not gotten to phase two yet. So just keep going through No BS and you'll get there. So y'all are talking about plan binge. Why would you plan a binge? Yeah. So, and that's all covered in, I believe, phase three of No BS. There is a lesson on binges, and Corinne talks all about the plan binge, and then the plan binge worksheet is on that page. So some of y'all need to keep going with No BS, right? Don't just stop at phase one for sure. Okay. There's so much more to learn, and especially in phase two and phase three. Phase four is amazing as well, but it's for folks who are a little bit ways down the line in their journey. But phase two is all about the thought work, and phase three is totally focused on overeating. So, a plan binge is basically where you get all of your, you know, all of your food out, just like you would do a binge, you know, any binge, but you get it all out, you get it there in front of you, and you eat it totally mindfully. Because I have a history of binge eating, and a lot of times I will eat to zone out, right? And binge eating is, you know, sometimes I call it overeating, sometimes I call it binge eating. But I just see binge eating as a large amount of food in a small amount of time, but it's no different. Because if you're just going a little ways past your plus two, you're overeating. It's all overeating, and it's all a way to escape, you know, your emotion, right? To check out, to numb out, whatever you want to call it. So, but all that's explained in No BS. So, but yeah, when you're eating it mindfully, you can really notice, like, okay, is this really what I want to be doing? And it's such an interesting experience. You journal your way through it, you fill out this worksheet, all of that. Okay. So Allison says she's working her way through phase two. Allison, I suggest she says she's struggling with her 24-hour plan. I would suggest that you go on to phase three, because if you're struggling with your 24-hour plan, it means that you're overeating. You're either overeating or eating off plan. And all that is covered in phase three. So I'd go on to phase three at this point, and then plan to go back and start over. Okay. Okay. Azizi, and then Nina, and then Lauren. Oh, y'all, I'm not doing good on keeping up with my times. Okay. Are you there? I'll unmute you. I don't know if I can unmute you. Are you there? There she is.
Can you see me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
What's up?
Hi. So I'm going to try not to cry while we talk. But I probably will. Yeah, already okay. Crying. Okay. So sorry, I just found out on Monday. So my dad, I found out in February, has colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And he had a bowel obstruction this weekend. So there was like an emergency surgery that had to be done on Monday. Mm-hmm. And they were gonna take his colon out. And while they did the surgery, they looked in and they saw that the cancer had spread to his abdomen. Mm-hmm. And the surgeon called me like before anybody else. And I said, well, what stage is it? And he says stage 4. And, you know, of course I'm trying to be like as positive as possible. And like strong for my dad, you know, and be there for him. And he's going to do chemo and everything. But my concern, and I guess like my fear, is that I'm going to be like eating my feelings, essentially. You know, like I really am trying not to. And I feel like, you know, if I'm stressed or something, I can generally talk myself out of it. But I noticed even last week, I wasn't really overeating, but I was like beginning to drink every day, yeah, which isn't normal for me either. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I just want to like get a handle on it before I start indulging in those behaviors, because I know it's not going to help anything.
Yeah.
Like in the moment, maybe, but you know.
Right. And I mean, I think for you, it's starting with, because you said, I want to be strong as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean by strong?
So for me, it's like my dad is already scared. I know that. Like my dad's a very proud man, very stoic, but I know he's scared. Mm-hmm. I don't want to add to his stress by like crying around him or, you know, like anything like that. So for me, being strong is kind of being like the leader in his healthcare, helping him through everything. And I don't know if this makes a difference, but I work in hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like I see people, of course, all the time that are sick, mm-hmm, you know, but it's so far removed because that's work. It's not personal. But
okay, so first off, do you think that you can add to your, to his stress?
Yeah.
Do you have the power to do that?
Yes, I think so.
Because he feels stress because of a thought that he has.
Yeah.
So
I guess not.
You're crying or not crying, it doesn't matter, right? He feels things because of his own thoughts and you can't control his thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And so what I hear you say is that for you to be strong means for you to not show any emotion.
Yeah.
How's that working out for you?
Honestly, I mean, like when I don't talk to him, that's when I'll cry. Like Monday I cried for like hours on end. And it was really hard because he didn't know yet, because he was, you know, was still coming to. And he had even called me at like 11:30 at night and was like, did you talk to the doctor? And he was so out of it. And he's like, what did he say? And I was like, oh, you know, like trying to skirt around the issue. But so when I'm on the phone and stuff with him, I just try to, I guess I don't want to say not have emotion, but just like, I try not to cry because I guess I don't want him to worry about me.
If he worries, mm-hmm, he feels anything, that's up to him.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think of showing emotion and crying as a sign of being really strong. that you're willing to show your emotion and that you're willing to feel your emotion. Yeah. Because, you know, we overeat and overdrink to not show emotion or to not feel emotion, right? That's the easy way out.
Yeah.
And for us to be strong and to be, you know, powerful with ourselves, it's to feel the emotion so that we're not covering it up with food. Yeah. Because you're setting yourself up right now to eat and drink through this entire thing.
Yeah.
Because the whole purpose of overeating and overdrinking is to cover up emotion and to not show emotion.
See, and I don't know, like, I feel like, okay, my mom was always and my mom is still alive, but she's always been very emotional, like, forever, like, my whole life, which I think, you know, is fine. It never bothers me. But I feel like I almost have, like, the opposite thing. Like, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I don't want her to know, like, what's going on with, like, she calls him her papa. Like, I don't want her to know what's going on because, to me, she's too little to know that. So I guess my concern, too, is, like, if I'm crying around her, she's going to say, like, Mommy, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know? And then it's, like, I don't know how to navigate that.
Mommy is sad today.
Okay.
Mommy just feels sad today.
Okay.
And I see that as teaching your child that it's okay to feel sad sometimes and to cry sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up with in a household that didn't show emotion very often.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, I don't blame them, but it's just like, it's a something I think about where it's like, oh, if I had maybe practiced showing emotion earlier in life,
yeah,
then, you know, I wouldn't be working on not showing it now, or, yeah, you know, or covering it up with food, you know, or whatever, yeah, we buffer with.
Cause, like, you know, I mean, she's little, so she'll cry if something happens. I'm like, it's okay. You know, like, you can cry, whatever. But I don't know why I've always felt this need. Now that I think back, like, since I was young, just to be, like, the strong one. Like, even if my mom was crying, trying to comfort her rather than, like, crying as well.
And, I mean, you have the opportunity, if you want to redefine what strong means.
Yeah.
And to, you know, to decide what to do and to be an example to your daughter with whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And... So it's just up to you what you want to do, but to really start to question some of these beliefs that you've had, mm-hmm, you know, growing up in terms of how you define strong, how you see emotion, you know, showing emotion, what, mm-hmm, you make that mean. And again, nothing is right or wrong. It's just you want to decide if you know, if that stuff is serving you, if it's useful for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I would rather, I guess, cry than gain, like, weight over it. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to help him if I get heavier.
Right, right. And if you're trying to, you know, to push down, like, do you know about the beach ball? Like, if you're trying to push the beach ball down, like, emotion is like a beach ball in the swimming pool.
Okay.
Try to push it down and not, you know, not show it and not feel it. It's like a beach ball in the swimming pool, and then eventually it's just going to pop up right out of the water. And it's going to pop up even more, you know, even more than it was before. But if you just allow it, mm-hmm, and allow yourself, I mean, that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, sob in front of your dad every time you see him, right? You can always step out. You can always, you know, make choices like that. But it's just when you're resisting the emotion, that just builds up over time, and you start to get desperate for relief, and that's when we turn to food. That's when we turn to alcohol. That's when we turn to other things. And so it's just a matter of you thinking about, okay, how can I release some of this? How can I allow some of this emotion in different ways?
Okay.
You know?
And what if, Betsy, like, if I notice, like, even the other day, right, like, I went to the fridge. I was like, I don't need to drink. I shouldn't drink. And there was a beer there. And I was like, well, I'm just going to try it. And it was Monday before I found, like, all this stuff out. well, I was like drinking it while the doctor called me. I don't know if that's good to admit, but I was. In those places where like I can feel myself like going towards it, like what is a good way, I guess, to divert away from doing it?
Yeah.
Just like tell myself this isn't going to help anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you want to have some sort of thought in there. Like something I've been thinking about recently is like, is this worth it? Is this going to be worth it?
Yeah.
You know, like a question like that. But I mean, you know, and you can have sticky notes on your fridge and all that kind of stuff. Right. But I mean, like when you're, you want to have, you know, some power thoughts on, you know, on retainer to, you know, to practice in terms of like, and you said it a minute ago, you're like, it's not going to help me to gain weight through this process. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the weakness, right? That's the weak way of, you know, that's what can create weakness is when you're not taking care of yourself, right? And you're not feeling good to be able to take care of your dad. And so you want to just come up with something that you can remind yourself of when you want to make that choice.
Okay.
Yeah. So just do some more journaling and really think about like, what is your, you know, your why? What is your reason for staying healthy through this? And when I say healthy, I mean to allow emotion, to not overeat and overdrink. Like, what is your good, really good reason for doing this? And that's what you can remind yourself of when you have urges, right? Because you're going to have urges. It's not like they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely going to have urges, even when you've allowed your emotion. You're just going to be exhausted from that, and you're going to have urges, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, what do you want to tell yourself in that moment to help you allow the urges too, when you really just need to maybe go to bed or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You got this. Take care, girl. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Oh, that was a good one too, y'all. Feel all the feels. Otherwise, we're turning to food and drink to not feel. We got to practice feeling things. We got to practice emotions. It's a learned skill to practice feeling. And sometimes, I'll never forget, a good friend of mine said, just give yourself a teaspoon of the emotion. You know, like, give yourself just a teaspoon of sadness, or a teaspoon of anxiety, or a teaspoon of frustration or anger. Just let yourself feel it for like 30 seconds. And then you could still go eat, or you can still go do whatever if you want to. But just like, you got to build from there, right? You got to practice like letting your body feel the stuff so that you prove to your brain that you'll be okay. And so, but it's got to start small. Okay, we got Nina, Lauren, and Deanna. Nina. Hi. Oh, hold on a minute. I can't hear you. Let me unmute you. Okay. There we go.
I don't mind my unmade bed in the background.
It looks very comfy and nice and cushy.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
So I wanted to check in today because I've been a member for over a year, and I really struggle to get any weight off just because I feel like I'm still working through a lot of thought work, et cetera. So I was able to, I managed to get down 14 pounds from where I had started. And as of today, I'm back up to where I started before I joined PMP.
Okay.
So all that weight back on. And a lot of that has happened in the last few months. I'm in the Bay Area in California, so we're pretty affected by COVID. And I'm very affected by COVID. And then in addition to that, I actually ended up quitting PMP a few weeks ago. And I was like, okay, you know, it's just too much right now. And then today was like my last cutoff day to say, you know, do I want to, or do I not want to? And I opted to join back in again. because I wasn't quite ready to give up on myself just yet. So I think, you know, it's just, it's for me, it's like, I know all the basics. I know everything I should be doing. I know all of that at this point because it's been over a year. So I think where I'm coming from is, it's a simple question. It's like, how do I start again? Like, how do I get myself back on track? And how do I get myself to do it a little differently this time? Because obviously the first time didn't quite work as well, because I'm back basically where I started again.
So what do you mean differently though? What are you, when you mean doing it differently this time, what do you mean?
I guess I'm looking more at my commitment level and how to get myself more committed and more engaged. And I know that comes and goes, and there's been times when I've been super, super into it. And then there's times when I pulled back from it a little bit, especially when I feel like I'm not succeeding. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have a tendency to pull back, right? Yeah. Like, you know, if I haven't, you know, done my plan perfectly. And then on top of everything else, last night I had a huge binge, and I have binge eating issues as well. And it was so awful. I mean, I found myself to the point where I had numbed myself out so badly that I just had to go to bed. Like, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to do anything. So,
that's one, number one.
Yeah.
Because you're really judging yourself for this, right? Calling it awful. Do you know that a binge is just a circumstance? Totally neutral.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you ate this food.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's not awful. It's not big. You know, there's not anything that's big or bigger or smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of judgment there.
I do. I feel like so. And I know that I shouldn't, right? I mean, I know enough about, you know, the thought work to know that you're supposed to let it go. And I did a discovery sheet today, and okay, I did commitment to myself. I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to leave it on the paper. You're not supposed to think about it anymore. But I think maybe it wasn't good timing for me to weigh myself in this morning, because obviously I'm probably still very bloated from what I did last night.
Well, you learned something from that. Like, okay, noted. Next time, don't weigh right after a binge.
Yeah, like give myself a couple days, you know, let it work through. And I do feel like today I've been on plan, which feels really good. And I waited to eat until I felt hungry, which was new, because I feel like the last couple months since we've been kind of in lockdown, I definitely been eating for all kinds of reasons that haven't been hunger.
Yeah.
And drinking way more than I ever have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, I mean, I think I know my whys, but it's like one thing to know your whys and one thing to believe your whys. I think those are two different things, right? It's like, yeah, I have all these great whys that I've written down 1,000 times, right? But then it's like really believing them and knowing this is the reason why I'm doing this, and this is why I'm going to do this. Like the commitment issue for me.
So if I could say you only have one why, you only get one why, you know, that you are working on believing, what would it be?
I just really want to feel good in my own skin. Like I really truly want to be able to look at myself in the mirror and not cringe and just feel really good about what I'm seeing and my health and how I, you know, my health on the inside. And even though I don't have any health problems, but still, like, I want to feel like I'm in a good place.
Mm. You know, all that stuff is available to you right now.
It is, isn't it? So that's all just thoughts.
It's all thoughts and feelings, right? Like, because usually we do something because of how we want to feel. Like we want to feel confident. We want to feel proud of ourselves. We want to feel all that kind of stuff, right? You can feel all that stuff right now, this very day, because it comes from your thoughts. Because you can think like, oh, I'm back on track today. I'm doing this for the last time. You can feel like amazing and proud today.
Right.
Because it all comes from your thoughts and your feelings. And so for you, I want you to go through the quick start, you know, just the basics of, let me just pull that up real quick, because that's got the compelling reason, lesson in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, just to remind yourself of like, okay, why am I like, if I can feel all this stuff right now, why do I want to do this? Why really do I want to do this?
Yeah.
Because you want a good reason.
Yeah, and that's true, because it's like, I feel like I surround myself with like my friends and stuff, and you know, all of us have weight issues, every single one of us. Mm-hmm. And all of us are just like, you know, I'm always surrounding myself with people that are saying it's so hard and it's a struggle and it's just so hard to lose weight. And like, these are all thoughts. And I can recognize when I'm hearing the texts go back and forth, I'm like, that's all thoughts. You know, it's not that actually, it's not that hard. We're just choosing not to do it, right? Like, I know that, and I can recognize that in those conversations. But it's like, to me, it's just the moment, like, where I'm making those choices to eat off plan or to overeat. Mm-hmm. It feels better to me in that moment to do that than to kind of like feel whatever I'm feeling. Like, it's the anxiety, it's the stress, it's the, oh my God, when is this COVID thing going to be done? Because this is insane. You know, it's like, am I going to lose my job? Is my husband going to lose his job? Like, what's going to happen? Are we going to ever, you know, it's all of that is.
And also, I heard a thought earlier that I wanted to point out. We have been very affected by this, right? Like, that's something that feels like a circumstance to you, but it's a thought.
Yep.
And it's not, you know, might not be serving you.
No, that's true. Yeah. And the reality is, like, in my town, we're really not. It's just the area that I'm in, right?
Interesting.
Well, but it doesn't help. My husband has a lot of anxiety around COVID. And so he's very, like, worried all the time. And he's always wanting to talk about it. And I think I'm affected. I let myself get affected by his energy, you know?
Well, but you have thoughts about his, you know, what he's saying or what he's doing, right? It's like, we're only affected by COVID or other people through our thoughts.
Exactly.
Right. Like you might be thinking with something he says, you might be thinking, oh, maybe he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I need to agree with him,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we're on the same page or whatever it is. Right. I mean, with my husband, sometimes I disagree with him sometimes with some of these things and, you know, and I have thoughts about it. Right. And so, yeah, you just want to recognize all of that, but it's, for you, I think that, I mean, there's absolutely nothing else you need to be doing. I mean, the quick start and all of that is great, but you're doing it. You made a plan today,
mm-hmm.
and you know what the four basics are. There's nothing else magical about getting back at it, right?
No, it's just doing it. It's making, and really it's a choice, right? And it's a choice that I have not been making.
Right. You've just been making a different choice, and you haven't been making the bad choice. You've just been making a different choice that got you different results, right? That got you weight gain instead of weight loss. That's it.
Yeah.
And so.
Triggers, I think, too, that I need to recognize. Like, you know, my husband was talking to her, and he's like, you know, it's like, you know, not being in good shape and being overweight can be part of like one of the reasons we could get COVID. And he's like, you know, we're not in the best shape. And I was like, did you say we, you know, and then I got really upset.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, so now you're talking about me and my weight, you know? And I'm like, oh, you don't think I'm pretty. You don't think it. And he's just like, I didn't say any of that.
You know?
You know,
I'm laughing just because like, it's interesting what you made all that mean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably a fact, but I was making it like, it was a whole spot. I was like, yeah, you're going to apologize for that.
So all a trigger is just like, he said something and you had a thought about it.
Right.
It's right. That's it. And so, and he can say whatever he wants, whenever. He doesn't need to change. It's you need to have your thoughts in check around why you're doing this, why it's important, why you're signing up for discomfort, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's no way around that. And, you know, and you're working on this and it's just a daily journey of successes and learning opportunities and all of that, right?
Is there a tip you could give me, and then I'll get off the phone, but I was going to say, is there a tip you can give me in that moment when I'm really wanting to eat to stuff down a feeling or to eat instead of feel, if you will?
Mm-hmm.
What can I ask myself of what I can do in that moment to kind of stop myself from making the different choice, which mm-hmm. is not weight loss. It's choosing to eat versus weight loss. How to choose weight loss over eating, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It's, you're not going to love my answer because it's, I mean, there's not a magic thought, right? There's no magic thought. There's no magic. It's almost like you just have to have a couple of times where it is like super uncomfortable, where it's like super hard. But then, I mean, I swear it only takes one time where if you just like, I mean, you can absolutely have your, you know, your really good why and, you know, remind yourself of why you're doing this and, you know, count down from 90 and take your deep breaths and all that kind of stuff. But if you can even just get through one of those urges, your brain, like, you know, just like you have this evidence now that you can do it. Right? That like, it's not impossible.
Right.
And I think for me, that has been such a big game changer, because when we have that evidence under our belt, literally of only one urge that we've allowed, we can practice like, but I did it before, I can do it again.
Right.
I did it before, I can do it again.
Right.
So, I mean, and you have to intentionally practice that, but that one success can be such a gift that you can build off of.
And I've been there before.
Yes.
Like, I've powered through them before. And
yeah.
I mean, it's been a year, so I've done it a couple of
times. That's the thing. It's like you already have that evidence because
yes.
you lost weight already.
I did.
And so, yeah. And so it's like, remember how it was and remember that, I mean, and you're here to talk about it, right? You survived. So it wasn't as, you know, as scary or painful as your brain made it out to be, because you're still here. And you, it's just building on that one, you know, success and being like, okay, I can do it again. I can feel the emotion again, and I don't have to eat over it. Now, you're not ever going to be perfect at it, but that's where you learn too, right?
Right.
So.
Well, thank you, Betsy. I appreciate
it. You know what to do. You've got evidence that it works. You've got like all of those tools in your tool belt already. Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. See ya. Bye. All right. I swear, y'all, I say this every single call, the time just flies by. Actually, real quick, let me get Lauren on here, and I need to text my husband real quick because I called him and he wasn't there. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And my cousin just texted me and they're having twins. Oh my gosh. And they're moving to Portland. Okay, y'all. Whoa, lots of news here on the phone. Hey, Lauren, hold on just one
Hello.
Second. Hey.
No, you're fine.
My cousin is having twins and moving to Portland. That's my news for today.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, exciting. Okay. Wow. All right. I'm like, okay. What's going on?
Well, I think I kind of got a bit of an answer on the last call with the how to choose weight loss over overeating. But what I've noticed recently as a pattern, and I mean, I'm an April baby. I officially joined the tribe in April, but I've definitely been following the podcast for years. So I know a lot of what I say is probably stuff I already know the answers to. I just need to hear it from somebody else.
Yeah. A lot of times that's the case. I just like, part of my job sometimes is just to repeat what you've heard before.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. I can at least take this call on a walk. Can't always have the conversation.
Yeah.
But one of the patterns I've realized that has been happening over the past week and a half or so is that I'm really uncomfortable sitting there when I'm sitting with somebody else to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are sitting down to eat dinner together as a family, I'll sit there and I'll eat my plus two and then have to sit and watch the rest of the family eat.
Yeah.
I reached out for, I think I just really need some new thoughts. I've definitely journaled on this. I did some models on this. The thoughts that I came up with, when I go back and look at them to kind of put them together, I don't really like them. I don't really like the new thoughts. I don't like my old thoughts. I don't like my new thoughts.
Why don't you like your new thoughts? Like, give me an example of one of your new thoughts and why you don't like it.
So there was one, I think one of my new thoughts was, you know, I'm not, something along the lines of, I'm not obligated to continue eating. or something like that. Like, it's not rude to stop eating. I have it in front of me. Nope. I liked that one. Yeah, I shouldn't feel obligated to eat when I'm not hungry. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it came from my old thought was being... The situation was I was eating at my grandparents' house. My grandma makes really good food. And so I do think she takes it a little bit personally when we don't finish our plates. And so I think, oh, I should eat this or she'll be upset. Mm-hmm. And then to go to, I shouldn't feel obligated to eat this. It still feels like a rude thought in my head. Like, it goes from one...
You know that you can't upset your grandmother, right?
Yes, I do know that.
Yeah, you know kind of how the model works. And so...
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
With that knowledge and that, you know. But let's start with the feeling here. So you stop, you're at your grandmother's and you stopped at plus mm-hmm. two and everybody's still eating, right? That's your circumstance. Right. So how do you want to feel, or how are you going to have to feel?
How am I going to have to feel?
Yeah.
Like, how would I like to feel?
Or how would you like to feel? Let's just go through all that.
Right there. All right. Honestly, I would like to feel satisfied emotionally. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know I feel satisfied with my food. I'd like to feel satisfied emotionally. I don't want to feel guilty. I got some tears. I don't know why. I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel rude. Don't want to feel obligated. You know, I don't want to feel like, not necessarily forced, but, sometimes the food is just really good. I don't want to feel the want to keep eating to overeat.
Yeah. And so. That's going to be part of the deal for a while.
Yeah.
All those different feelings.
Yeah.
Especially at first. It's yeah. just going to be like all the stuff and, you know, and the satisfied comes like, you know, maybe later on that afternoon, right? When you're like mm-hmm. long after you've gotten up away from the table, you've gone home, you're filling out your assessment at the end of the day. That's when the satisfaction mm-hmm. comes. Okay. But yeah, it's not going to feel amazing. It's going to feel amazing. There's no getting around that, especially at first. Now, those,
right.
the guilty and all of that, you know, you can, mm-hmm. I mean, you can absolutely work on all this stuff, right? But it's like right. that stuff is just going to come up at first.
Okay.
And then, so it's like, so the satisfied is going to be later when you're, you know, like, you're like, I rock my plan. But mm-hmm. what would you like to get to? While you're still sitting at the table, right? We're at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of gone through the guilty and the rude and all that, but you're still sitting there.
Yeah.
What's realistic for you to feel in that moment? Maybe even like if somebody asks you, like, you're not going to finish or, you know, you're done already.
What's funny is because when I'm sitting there, jealousy is also another big feeling that comes up. But when somebody asks me if I'm done, then I feel like, okay, I have that getaway. I can push my plate away from me and I'll be fine. Then I can sit there and there's no plate in front of me to eat off of. There's no, I can't put more food on my plate. Mm-hmm. But when we're sitting there together and before the question is asked, I can't just push my plate away or just take it to the sink.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could. Right.
No.
I mean, you could, like, literally, yeah. I mean, we got some hacks too, where it's like, I mean, you know, like when you're at a restaurant too, you could do that. I mean, you can, I mean, if you're at your grandmother's house, you could actually absolutely get up and go and put your plate in another place if you wanted to. Now, yes, some people are going to have opinions about that. Right. And they may mm-hmm. even say something about it. And so you want to be prepared with, you know, answers for that, just so you're prepared.
Right.
Or you could put your napkin over your plate, or you could, you know, just, I mean, you know, get up and go to the restroom and just take a break for a minute and come back.
Oh, I like those. Yeah. I never considered that, the napkin yeah. or the bathroom break.
That's something that I've talked to people about, like at restaurants, especially like if you're, you know, if you know you're at plus two and that food is just, you know, you obviously you can't like, you know, take your plate anywhere unless you're your waiter and you could give it to them. But
right,
just take a break. Just be like, mm-hmm. I mean, and that, just that interruption really gets your brain, like, you know, just away from the situation. It really just kind of calms your brain down.
I mean, right. Cause I do know that leaving the room has helped, because there was, when I was first dealing with overeats, I found that we would eat dinner together and watch in front of the TV, mm-hmm. and I almost overeat every night. And, I finally told my mom, I've got to eat in the kitchen, then I'll come sit at the couch with you. It only takes 10 minutes to eat. It won't take long. And that has helped curb a lot of it. So getting to help do that in a smaller portion will help.
Yes. So there's these things you can do, but you want to, I mean, but it needs to, you need to have your thoughts and feelings.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I almost think that just, I mean, it's just going to be uncomfortable.
Okay.
And I always say, this is kind of my, one of my little soapbox things, where I want y'all to work more on intentional models that have uncomfortable in the feeling line, right? Because discomfort is going to be required, not all the time, right? I'm not saying that it's just going to be this miserable process to lose weight, but you're going right. to be signing up for some discomfort sometime, especially when you're working on, you know, not overeating at grandma's, you know, especially at first, right? Like, that's just the real deal. That's, you know, real talk. So, okay, what could you think to feel uncomfortable and in this situation?
All I can think is just, it feel like I have a shouldn't thought, like I shouldn't keep eating.
Mm-hmm.
There was one thought I did come up with. It was the eating more won't solve my discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I have that on my watch. Mm-hmm. So I do try to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like more in my arsenal.
I mean, I don't even know if it's a thought. It's just a thing I say sometimes. Hold on, let's see. I'm going to do discomfort. DC for short. I'm just kind of say like, I'm okay. It's okay. Okay. It's just okay.
Okay.
Maybe like I breathe in and out sometimes, like, okay, I'm okay. And so it's like, okay, you're going to be uncomfortable. And this is when you, from a place, you know, again, getting honest and knowing you're going to be uncomfortable, then you, you know, practice sitting there and just sitting with the discomfort. That's some amazing practice in allowing some discomfort, right?
Right.
You also can, you know, prepare your responses if somebody asks you something, so that's just, those are just decided. Somebody mm-hmm. says something, this is what I'm going to say. You know, it's going to be uncomfortable probably, but at least I'm not trying to think of something to say in the midst of all this discomfort, right? That's already decided. But then you can, you know, go to the bathroom. You can, you know, put your napkin over your plate, get up, move your plate, all those kind of things too. But again, it's not to get rid of the discomfort.
Okay.
It's like you're all in for the discomfort because it's part of the deal. And it's worth it for these reasons, right? And you want you to remind yourself of your, you know, your whys, your reasons for doing all this. Okay. And then the result is I get some amazing practice in discomfort. And you remind yourself that eating more only increases your discomfort, right?
Yeah.
In the long run, whether it increases your mental discomfort, and then you probably can, you're physically physically uncomfortable too sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a pretty amazing thought. And again, not going to feel amazing, but not always about feeling amazing. So
no.
And that's okay.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We have Deanna, Tanya, and Lisa.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good. All right, let's see. Hey there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
So I've been developing this pattern lately of getting out of bed and going to watch, like if I can't sleep, I'm going to watch TV and eating. Mm-hmm. So I did that last night and I did a discovery. Mm-hmm. And I have a few thoughts that that came up. I thought maybe we could work through it.
Okay. Yes. Good. I'm glad you got your data to talk about.
Okay. For one was I overate earlier. I might as well enjoy now. Mm-hmm. Dismissing urges is too hard because the urges come over and over again. And the last one that I just realized is that I can't sleep, so eating will distract me from that. Mm.
So are any of those, what do you think about those? What do you think about those thoughts?
I think they're three different models, maybe. Mm-hmm. I guess the most prevalent one is the first one. I overate. I overeat earlier, so it doesn't matter, or I might as well keep going, or might as well enjoy.
Okay. Doesn't matter. So this is at last night, when was it? What time was it around?
10 p.m.
10 p.m. And you have an urge, right?
Yes.
Urge to eat.
Yeah, I think I had been sleeping and then I woke up. I wake up a lot and then I couldn't go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I had the urge to eat. Yeah.
Okay. So when you think I overate earlier, it doesn't matter anyway. I might as well eat. How do you feel?
Like I'm giving myself permission.
Yeah. Like justified, right?
Yeah.
Totally. Because all those things you were saying are just excuses and justifications, right? Yeah. To overeat. And you really want to look at those. And so overeat. And then you just, reinforce this thought. I guess it doesn't matter. I guess my weight loss doesn't matter. Just kind of reinforces the thought.
Yeah. And practices overeat. The habit of overeating.
Right. And yeah, enforces the habit and reinforces the thought for sure. So what do you want to do about this?
Well, the thought that I could try, on the next page of the discovery, I wrote, since I said that I overate earlier so I could just enjoy now, the new thought might be overeating is not enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wind up feeling stuffed.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe that? Do you think that's something that's going to keep you from overeating in that moment?
If I can remember to think it, yeah.
So why do you get out of bed in the first place?
Because I feel I'm not going to fall back asleep and I'm frustrated with that. And anxiety starts coming too from that.
I mean, we could solve this problem even easier if you just didn't get out of bed and you allowed yourself to just feel all of that and to just lay there. You know, Corinne talks about this when she, you know, people come on and say they can't sleep. It's like, just got to lay there and be bored. You'll eventually go back to sleep.
Yeah. At one point I was trying to tell myself, it's okay if I can't sleep. It's not a big deal. I just have to stay in bed. I can't get out of bed and eat. Mm-hmm. I can do other things like write or read.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just lay there, right?
Yeah, I guess that's tolerating the just discomfort of not falling back asleep right away.
Yeah, that's some really good practice in just like letting some, like we were saying with the last caller, right? Like letting some discomfort be there. Like, this is my practice in allowing discomfort. I get to lay here and feel it.
Yeah.
Because then it's like the food thing isn't even an option. If you just decided, I'm not getting out of bed. I don't get to get out of bed. Because that's like rewarding yourself for, you know, not laying there, right? I mean.
And not sleeping and making it like a positive connotation.
Right, right. Like you, I mean, because probably if you're getting up and going and watching TV and eating and stuff, you're not falling back to sleep as quickly as you would.
Right.
And so I would work on just really committing to staying in bed. And you can, you know, you can work on, like, if you have a lot of things running through your mind, you can have like a little pad of paper, you know, next to your bed and you, or your phone, and I suggest writing just because they say that when you turn on your phone and your eyes see the light and all of that, that can kind of mess up with your, but it's just like, okay, if you need to get stuff out of your brain, you can jot all that down. And you could do a meditation or something like that, sleep meditation.
Okay.
But I think for you, the commitment practice to not get out of bed to begin with. What'd you say?
Yeah, I have to make that the habit that I'm practicing.
Yeah.
And I might not succeed, but
yeah,
I have to keep trying.
Yeah. I just think that's the habit to work on developing. And when you're developing a habit, of course you're not going to be perfect at it. Right. Of course, there's going to be nights where you get up and go watch TV and, you know, and sometimes eat. But you could even start with, OK, if I get up, I can go watch TV, but I can't eat. I'm not going to eat. Right. It's like building back from there.
Yeah.
Or you could even start even before that and say, OK, I get to get up and watch TV, but I only I'm going to allow myself this specific thing, right? And then you slowly go back from there.
That's what I wanted help with, yeah, because I can't go, I don't feel I can just snap my fingers and decide.
No. No, it's certainly a process, for sure. For sure. So, yeah, just start small and just be like, okay, I'm going to put it on your plan, right? I'm going to plan something small to have if I get up, you know, out of bed, but that's it. That's all I get. And I'm committed to that. Right. And then you can, you know, dial back from there. Yeah. So just start realistically.
Okay.
I think for
you. Can I ask you something else?
Sure.
I have also realized that I have this belief that, that I can't have two good days in a row or two on like 4 out of 4 days, 4 basics. Cause I rarely do. And I know that's just a thought. I'm just a story I'm believing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those stories that like you're using your past to predict your future. Right. And for you, it's just like I was saying with someone else where it's like, you've got to build that evidence that you can do this. And so you've got to create a new story of, yeah. No, I can do this. I can go 4 days. I'm not going to use my past as my, you know, as my fortune teller, what, like Corinne says, right? My past doesn't predict my future anymore. I'm in control always, and I'm committed to getting the, you know, getting some four day streaks under my belt so that I can prove to myself that I can do this and I can do something.
It's actually 2 days.
Okay.
So I can start with 2 days and build up.
Just like with the sleep, you just start small and build from there. And when you hear your brain go, oh, we can't do this, we've never done this, you know, you have to hear that and then say, no, we're writing ourselves a new story now. We're doing something different. One of my biggest power thoughts when I was losing weight was, I'm just going to do something different this time. Just going to do something different. Because what I've been doing hasn't worked. Right? I knew that for sure. So maybe maybe this crazy P&P plan is, it might just work. So...
yeah, because when I think about it, I have had 2 good days in a row. So it's not really true that I can't.
Right. That's the other thing. If you can just like hear that thought and be like, no, that's bullshit. You know, like we're not thinking that, that's not even true. Then because I had a thought had a story I was telling myself. And I was just kind of letting the story go. And then when after it kind of went through, I said, okay, what evidence do I have that this is true? I didn't have any evidence. You actually have, like clear evidence that it's not true. Right. So, you know, it's just BS.
Yeah.
And so you can shut that down real quick and just be like, no brain, we're not playing that today. That's just not true. So back to the plan.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Steph, see ya.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Tanya, Lisa. Let me get Tanya up here. We got Tanya, Lisa, and Cynthia. 22. You there, Tanya? Let's see.
Hello?
Hello.
You see me now?
There you are. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. I think this was a perfect night to ask this question.
Okay.
Based on the last couple of callers. So what I would like is to see if you can help me discern the difference between white knuckling and sitting in discomfort.
Okay.
Because I hear that it's, you know, if you white knuckle your way through this, I've been in PNP for over a year. I've had my weight off since August of last year. I'm actually less than a pound from, I've gone since this COVID thing, I went up about 3 pounds, but I'm less than a pound from back to my maintenance weight. So, but I have a reoccurring thought and some confusion because I hear that it's not good to white knuckle because then you're going to just, you're fighting all the way through. But yet I hear a lot of talk about sitting in discomfort and that you will have urges, you will have, wants is what I call them. They're never going to go away. It's just how you allow yourself to see it and then move past it. So can you help me understand the difference?
I think that it first starts with the thoughts around, like, you know, the circumstances that you have an urge, right? And so it's really like what you make that urge mean. And so if you are white knuckling, you're having thoughts like, you know, this shouldn't be happening. You're arguing with the urge. You're even just talking to it. that, okay. You know, and you're kind of, you know, trying to think it's, you know, this shouldn't be happening. This should go away. I should, you know, I shouldn't be having these anymore and all that kind of stuff. And that's, it's like this kind of, you're actually carrying on a conversation with your,
okay.
You're engaging with it. And that's more okay. On the white knuckling side. And of course it's different for everybody. You want to just kind of work uh-huh. on like, I'm going to give you some, you know, just some ideas. And then I want you to really think about like the next time you have an urge to really just get curious about, okay, am I white knuckling here or am I allowing the urge? And okay. So, the other thing with, another thing with white knuckling is, let's just stick with the thoughts first. And so the allowing the urge is more of, sometimes it's even more of like a tone of voice where you're just like, of course I'm going to have, you know, it's more calmer kind of voice that you're talking like, of course I'm going to, it's just an urge. I'm just going to have, urges are normal. I'm going to have an urge. It's, you know, it doesn't have to be a big deal. It's those kind of thoughts where, and then, but it's also like more of a tone of voice where it's a calmer voice as opposed to more of a like urgent panicky kind of voice with white knuckling.
Okay.
But it's also, it's like the tone of voice, but it's also the thoughts that you're having. And so what you could do is take a piece of paper, write white knuckling up at the top and write up, you know, do a line down the middle and then do allowing. And so come up with what thoughts, you know, feel like white knuckling to me, what thoughts feel like allowing the urge, you know, and allowing the discomfort. And then I also think along with the thoughts, it's feelings. So it's, you know, with white knuckling, it feels urgent. It feels, you know, you may have some anxiety. You may have some just like impatience with it.
Mm-hmm.
What are the feelings? With allowing, it's going to be uncomfortable, kind of like I was doing with Lauren, where like, you know, it's not like it's going to be just smooth sailing. You're going to have some discomfort there, but it's not the, you know, it's not the white knuckling kind of discomfort, right? It's just like, okay, it's going to feel uncomfortable, but there's also like kind of a calmness here. There's also maybe a curiosity. It's different for everybody, but I want you to kind of think about that too. Like what are the feelings? And then also the last thing is thinking about kind of your physical sensations and your physical body, because like when you're white knuckling, you're tensing up. You probably don't even realize it sometimes. But also you can think about afterwards with white knuckling. Basically white knuckling is like you're using willpower, right? You're using willpower to get through people talk about like powering through an urge. I think someone mentioned that earlier tonight, like powering through an urge. Like we don't want to have to push through or to power through an urge. And that's what white knuckling is. And so a lot of times like you're exhausted after white knuckling through an urge. And that sometimes that will eventually end up in an overeat. Like I think about, I babysit my nieces every Thursday and I've overeaten because, you know, they have all the good kid, you know, snacks there. And so I've had some overeats there and I've been working on that. And some Thursdays,
let's take a look at this.
I find that I'm,
Sorry. My husband came through the door.
some Thursdays I find that I'm white knuckling and then sometimes I'll end up overeating or end up just being really tired at the end of the day. Right. Because I realize, oh, I've been white knuckling. Like, I wonder what my, you know, I get really curious about my thoughts and feelings. And then other times I'm good. And so you want to think about kind of like how it feels physically in your body. So that's
so one. So the white knuckling, it's totally, it's not a newbie experience. That also, just like the thoughts will always be there, white knuckling can come in waves. You can have periods of white knuckle and periods of not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Here's the other thing. The one other thing is that you can have both basically. I mean, and you, especially at first, you will have both at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Like you go, I mean, just, you know, like, let's say on a, you know, on a Thursday, I mean, and I don't even think this is just at the beginning. I think this is, you know, can happen anytime, where you're like, you're like, you're white knuckling, and then you're like, no, I just need to allow this. And then you go back and forth between white knuckling, no, I just need to, you know, so you go back and forth between the two conversations. And that's totally normal too.
And so, well, I know yesterday I was having intense, I guess it was nervous energy, or it was almost like I drank way too much caffeine or something is what I, but I kept on thinking to myself, I only had two urges. But I remember that it wasn't even, my little mantra is, will this make me move forward? And so one was over crackers, and I said, I wanted crackers, and I said, will it make me move forward? One, is it on my plan? No. Two, will it make me move forward? No. Well, I guess I'm not going to have the crackers. Mm-hmm. And the other one was Funyuns. Same questions, same answers. But I noticed I was real, so I didn't feel, I wasn't like arguing with the urge, but I noticed that I was very snippy with other people, very short, which usually I'm a pretty mellow person. But I even apologized to my husband. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm
thing that goes on your other list, right? Of, of, I mean, and I didn't even like really even mention that, like the actions, right? When you're white knuckling and you're tensed up, then yeah, you may be more likely to snap or to do things. So yeah, you want to add that to your list.
Okay. So I was under the misunderstanding that white knuckling wasn't just a newbie experience. It's something that I can expect, and I can recognize it as, okay, this is white knuckling. I'm going to try and talk myself through that, because I don't want to eat through it. I don't want to say, okay, well, it's white knuckling. I'm real tensed. And I don't want to say, okay, you win this one. Let me have the Funyuns. I want to be able to power through, but recognize and maybe do some TDLs that this was a difference between discomfort and white knuckling, and what were some of the experience, good and bad, that this taught me. Okay.
Yes. And also we have that before the urge worksheet, like pre-urge worksheet.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah. So print out a bunch of those. And so you can get really curious about your urges and what you're thinking. And like, there's just some really good questions in there about like, okay, am I trying to cover up a feeling, or am I trying to feel something? You know, so you just get real curious, and that moves you out of white knuckling and into kind of the allowing, because you're getting curious. Curious could be another feeling, you know, in the allowing column, where it's just like, oh, okay, this is why I'm thinking, you know, why I'm feeling this, or why I'm thinking this, or whatever. And that moves you out of white knuckling. So just, yeah, it's just a process of getting to know your urges and how you handle them. And it's a, yeah, it's a lifelong process for sure. And so, and like I said, you do go back and forth between the two a lot.
And okay. This helped me a lot. This helped me a lot.
Well, that's a really
good well, thank you so much, and have a wonderful evening.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Lisa, we got Lisa and Cynthia. Let's see how many we can get through here. That was such a good question. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I first wanted to thank you and Tonya, because that is a question that I've always wondered myself, between the allowing of an urge and white knuckling. So that was super helpful. I'm going to have to listen to that again when I'm not so nervous that I was up next.
Okay.
So I want to learn how to turn my brain on faster. So I'll give you an example. This morning I got a phone call from my doctor's office. So I had a biopsy done like last week, and they called and said that the doctor needed to talk to me about my results. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the circumstance. That's all they said, right?
Yeah.
So immediately, of course, I'm like, they would never Yeah, they would never make me meet with a doctor if something.
You just had a whole story going, right?
Yeah, yeah. I had a whole story going in like, I mean, less than 5 seconds. You know, I was like looking up and making sure that like my living will was up to date. Like I was thinking about, you know, when my mom was sick and she wasn't eating cheese on her pizza and I probably made her feel bad. Like, I mean, it went like full circle in like seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had a thought that happened so quickly. It's a habit that whenever I feel bad, I like try to change, like I try to distract myself from that feeling. Right. So I had a binge.
Yeah.
And I mean, literally like all of this happened in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then after that, like once I like had a second, I was like, if I had never gone to the doctor, like I would never even have, like, I wouldn't have had this like thought. Like, so it's the thought. So I was like, I was able to rationalize with myself, like how it was just a thought. Like there was a whole bunch of like, I'm like, if I hadn't answered the phone, like I wouldn't have known, like it, this, the reality of the situation would have been exactly the same, but I'm not having a thought that's making me nervous. Like the situation's the same, whether they had the doctor had to talk to me or not. Right. Like my body is what my body is, regardless of whether like I know about it, regardless of whether they're asked to talk to me. So I was like, and then I used my tools and my resources. Like I reached out to my accountability group. Like they even further talked me off the ledge. You know, I have a friend who's a nurse practitioner. She sort of gave me some medical advice. So I know what my tools are. I've practiced my models, but I wasn't expecting the phone call, right? So it's not an exact model that like, that I've worked before. And it just, it happened so fast that like, it just happens so, so fast.
So what do you make it mean that it happened so fast? So what?
So I feel like I didn't start to like think rationally about it until my binge was already over.
And so why is that a problem?
I just want to, well, I'd like to not have the binge if I could help it. I'd like to be able to have the thoughts that I had after it before it, because it would prevent unnecessary anxiety and it would also prevent.
And you can work on that, right?
Yeah.
You're not there yet. Right. You're just not there where like you've told me so much about what you've learned through this whole process. Right. But
for sure.
Like you had to go through that to learn like, oh, I need to put some interrupters in place the next time, you know, my brain goes to this place again, you know, maybe not with the same circumstance, but it's just like, but it's seeing this whole process as, because right now I hear some judgment like, well, this shouldn't have happened.
Well, I mean, it did. So it should have, because it did. So
it should have, right. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're there where it's like, you're not fighting with the past, right? You're not fighting with what is. And so from that place, it's like, okay, how do you want to, yeah, it went really fast. Isn't that interesting how fast all that happened, right? You can move into this curiosity place of like, God, that was happening, you know, out of the judgment and into the, now I think that's where you're moving towards. But it's just like, okay, and I think that's why you're on this call, right? Is to like figure this out. Like,
right.
Oh my gosh, isn't that interesting how quickly all that happened? And then, you know, next thing I know, I'm eating and all of this kind of stuff, right? Okay, let me get curious about that and back it on up and, you know, do my discovery worksheet and really figure out what the process was that, you know, and there's actually a concept, we don't really teach it all that much anymore. It's called behavioral chain analysis when we're talking about like binge eating or overeating. And it's all these chains, that connect together. Sorry. It's all these chains that connect together that lead to an overeat or lead to some sort of behavior. And so you just want to work on becoming aware of all these different chains. And that's where you are. right? You just want to really get to know what happened and then, okay, what can I do next time?
Okay.
And for you, it's, I mean, have you done your discovery worksheet?
Yes.
Okay. What did you learn from it? What did you come up with to do next time?
So actually I have to pat myself on the back a little bit. I had been very bad doing, discovery worksheets. And this month, because of the bingo, I wanted to be able to check off that corner piece, where I do discovery worksheets for every single overeat that I have.
Awesome.
Yeah. And this one, the actions that I was thinking about putting into place is one thing that I did before that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't work is, anything that I seem to go to the same types of foods when I binge. So like I used to put stickies on some of them and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Maybe I have to find the right like wording or phraseology. So I put testing that kind of thing out.
Or just keep practicing, right? You just keep practicing.
Yeah.
With, you know, maybe with the same sticky notes, but it's just a practice of like, okay, maybe this time I'm going to read the sticky note. I'm still going to eat the food, but maybe next time I'll read the sticky note and eat less food or not eat the food, right? It's these very small incremental steps.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, I'm channeling Corinne when I say this and she's like, you know, it's not going to just take one or two times with these sticky notes for things to magically work, right? It's a practice. And so for you, it's just, yeah. And you can absolutely reword whatever you want to, too.
Yeah.
But it's not having these unrealistic expectations either of, you know, how long it's going to take for things to, you know, to work. It's a practice.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Another one of the things I do too, I notice like during my binges, a lot of them are me standing up in the kitchen. Mm. And I've really been trying to work on, I can eat it, but it has to be like on a plate, like, or I have to be like sitting down. I'm having a hard time with that one, but I know that that's going to be like a key for me. I have to just keep sticking to it.
I mean, one of my things is I don't eat standing up. And I mean, I am still working on it. I am not super successful at it all the time. It's a practice. It's been a practice for years for me. So it's just like, okay, are you willing to practice it? You know, for forever, just to keep working on it. Right. And
so
it's like, you can kind of put these things in place where like, okay, I don't eat standing up. I don't eat anything that's not, you know, on a plate, and just work on that. And, you know, not ever expect to be perfect, but to just keep practicing at it.
Something you said just clicked with me too, where you said that you're still practicing it. I feel like there's a piece of judgment in there that I've been doing where like, if the sticky notes aren't working, I'm like, ugh, it's not working. And you know, I still eat standing up and I'm like, you know, like, why can't I do this? But it's, I really have to reframe it that, you know, I'm practicing.
Yes. And so, like, I swear, I think if we could shout it from the rooftops, I think we would, all of us coaches, where it's like, we are still practicing, right? There's never a time when all of this is figured out. You know, I wish we could tell you all that, but that, you know, there's never a time where you're not always practicing. There's never a time where you don't have urges, right? That's not the point of all of this, is to get to a point where everything is figured out. That doesn't exist. But you're still practicing and you're still figuring things out. Corinne says, like, you know, while you're wearing a size 8 jeans, right? I mean, so it's like, that's what you're trying to get to, where it's like, you got all these tools, you still have urges, you're still practicing, but you're wearing a size 8, you know, or whatever it is, right? And so that's what you're trying to get to, you know, where we are in terms of, like, it's always going to be a process. It's always going to be a practice. But that's okay, because we have the tools to keep working on it. And I always think life would be boring if everything was just all figured out, right?
That is true.
So that's my attitude about it. So
cool. Thank you so much.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Cynthia.
Hey.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Okay.
Can you, is it working?
Yes, it's working. I can see you and hear you.
Good. Good. I have joined PNP. I joined April of 2019. And I have been half-assing it ever since. So I'm very frustrated with myself because I stumbled upon Corinne's podcast probably December or January of 2019 and fell in love and loved her message and was listening and decided I was going to, you know, go dive in and join the tribe and, you know, really make this happen for myself. And because I've been struggling to lose this weight for, gosh, it's my son is 19 now. So I've been struggling with this for at least 19 years. And I still haven't made it happen. And there are things, she has definitely changed my thoughts on various things. And I think I am kinder to myself. And I, you know, think about much more about, you know, the volume of water I'm drinking or, you know, trying to be, I still haven't mastered the plus two, minus two, but, you know, I'm always thinking about it. Like, have I had enough? I'm looking for that sigh, et cetera. I had just always thought in my head that by this point, it being, you know, 13 months later since I joined, that I would have lost the weight that I was looking to lose. And I just haven't lost any of it.
That's the thought right there that I think is hosing you right now. Is you thinking I should have lost it already.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's just a thought that's not, that's what's keeping you in, you know, keeping you stuck. Is because, again, I was talking about this with the last call. You're fighting with the past, right? You're fighting with, like, you apparently just weren't ready to lose weight until now. You could just...
Like, this is the first time I've made a call into the coaches. Yeah. I did sign up. I was supposed to go to the April camp. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that would kind of be the kick to motivate me to get going kind of a thing. And obviously that was, you know, I postponed it and decided to go in July instead, hoping that I can try to do a lot of work and thought work that weekend in hopes that that will kind of really get the ball rolling for me.
But here's the thing. How do you get the ball rolling? How do you feel motivated?
That is such a good question. You know, I have little spurts of it. For example, you know, I happened to read the email about the bingo and I printed out the page and it's still sitting on my printer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I printed it out. I was all gung ho. I read it over and then it's like the next day I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm thinking, so how do I make that happen? Do I need to, you know, tape it to my refrigerator so that I see it every day, or
Nadia,
the mirror, or
and here's the thing.
You know, and the back bathroom. It up, though.
I mean, I think you're still waiting. You're waiting to be motivated, right? You're thinking that you need to be motivated to take action, and you don't. And a lot of the time, you're not going to be motivated. Are you willing to do things when you don't want to get what you really want in life?
Right. And I do hear Corinne where she said, like, I am not a person who likes to document and journal and write about all, you know, and do a lot of the writing. I think I like the idea of it, but I don't carry through on the action of it. It just doesn't happen. And I roll through like what I'm going to be eating that day and what I've eaten that day. It all, you know, it's all here, but you know, I'm not documented, whether she has that phrase where she says, well, what do you hate more, the documenting or do you hate the wait?
Yeah.
And
good question.
You know, of course I hate the wait, but at this exact moment right now, today, I don't want to document, you know, I don't want to write all that stuff.
Well, then you don't want to and, live life.
Right. And that's what it comes down to is, you know, so it's, but I do want to lose it. I just, you know, I don't think I've totally figured out my why either. You know, the big question of why am I not making this happen? You know, why am I, you know, taking those tiny little steps and taking little actions and figuring this out? You know, why am I not figuring this out?
Well, I think the answer is real clear. It's that you want to do it all the time. You know, you think you should want to do it. You think you should feel motivated all the time.
Yes.
That is absolutely not the case. Just absolutely not the case. That's not how weight loss happens. Weight loss happens a lot of times when you're doing things when you don't feel like it. You're doing things when you don't want to. And right now you're making that mean, oh, I must be doing something wrong, or I must not, you know, must not be doing it right, or I must, you know, I need motivation to do this. No, it's just, I mean, and you do have this larger why, but it still doesn't feel great in the moment. You're looking for a why, like a compelling reason to make things easy in the moment or to make things or to feel motivated in the moment. No, there's a lot of times I never want to get up at 5 a.m. and work out. I'm waiting for the day I'm going to want to get out of my cozy and go work out at 5 a.m. It hasn't happened yet. But still, my brain, like every morning, my brain says, but we don't want to. So why are we doing this if we don't want to? I mean, every single morning, Cynthia, every morning, I have that conversation. And it's like, because I want to feel good in my body. I want to feel accomplished. All these, right? And so I do it when I don't want to every single morning. And so for you, it's a matter of accepting that and being like, okay, I'm not going to want to all the time, but I want this for these reasons. And that's why I'm signing up for the discomfort in the moment, right? These reasons aren't going to give me comfort in the moment. They're not going to propel me out of bed in the morning to go work out or whatever, or to do a plan. But I'm willing to do this, you know, to sit with this discomfort and do this plan because this is what I really want.
So, you know, so where should I begin then? Like, should I go back to the four basics and, you know, pick one small item and say, you know, I'm going to do this one small thing, even if it is, you know, work or uncomfortable or.
Yeah. I always recommend starting small, starting with one basic and getting really good at it and then moving on to the next one for sure.
Okay.
Because that'll help you practice. So you don't want to have like 14 things that you're doing at one time that you don't feel like doing, right? You want to just do one thing that you're doing. Again, you know you're not going to want to do it. And you want to just focus on that and get that really good practice in of, like a plan, for example, like writing the plan, doing the plan. You don't even have to assess the plan at this point. Just write some stuff down. And I mean, just write the food down. That's it. You don't have to fill out anything else in the planner, right? Start small. And it's just like, okay, for 30 days, that's what I'm practicing doing.
Just
practicing doing something, feeling uncomfortable, not wanting to do it some days, and doing it anyway. And I'm going to build that skill. Yeah. Those are the reps. You know, we think about working out and like lifting weights. You're doing those reps to build that skill and that strength of doing things when you don't feel like it, doing things when you don't want to, doing things when you doubt the process, doing things when you hear your brain say, oh, this isn't going to make any difference. One of my biggest power thoughts when I was losing weight, I doubt it, but I do it. I had doubt all the way through the process, but that never stopped me from doing the actions. I mean, y'all, this program is so simple. It's four basics, right? But it's simple, but it's not easy all the time, right? But it's very simple. It's super simple, four actions. And so I knew that I could do those actions, even if I felt doubt, even if I felt like I didn't want to do it. But, and that's what I want you to get practice doing, but just start with one. Maybe it's just getting all your water in for 30 okay. days.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
If start I could there. Just make something simple like that happen. Yes. Yeah.
Start there. And again, okay. hear your brain say it's, your brain's going to say it's not enough. You need to be doing more. You know, you want to be aware that your brain is going to tell you that, right? But you're all in for that because you're figuring right. this out. And that is how our program works, is yeah. that you start small and you build from there. For sure.
Okay.
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 I say start with your water.
Okay.
Just commit 64 ounces every day. If I'm not perfect one day, it doesn't matter. I'm getting right back at it the next day. Right?
All right. So here's a question I have for you about okay. that. I do tend to drink a fair amount of caffeine. I have a pretty big bulletproof coffee in the morning to start my day. And then after that, I tend to drink, you know, I'll drink water after that point, but I'll squeeze in some iced tea in there as well, which obviously has caffeine in it. Not a lot, but some. If I remember correctly, that should that or should it not count towards your liquid, you know, your 64 ounces?
If it's got caffeine, then it doesn't count. You don't want to count it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, anything that is like non-caffeine that and non-caloric, obviously, mm-hmm. Count towards your water, like decaf coffee or something like that. But if it's,
okay.
but I love the idea. I don't know who came up with this or who maybe Corinne or somebody recommended, like, just pound 16 ounces of water, like when you get up.
Right.
Just down that, like have a little bottle in your bathroom. Like when you're,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I'm brushing my teeth in the morning after I get out of bed, when I don't want to, I go and brush my teeth and I have my bottle of water there and I take some pills. And so I just like try mm-hmm. to get like half of that bottle. Cause I have a 32 ounce thing. I don't have it with mm-hmm. me. I try to get like just a bunch of water right then. And then mm-hmm. I'll go work out and then I get my coffee and you know, all that, but it's just like, yeah. So it's figuring out ways to just get it in.
Okay.
And to get it in as early in the day as you can. I mean, that's a good way to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I mean, I know for me, I don't want to have to get up three or four times in the night and go to the bathroom. And
right.
also you just, you know, and there's all kinds of hacks for your water, right? Like, you know, some people just do, like a certain number of bottles of water and they put them, you know, around, or, you know, you can have a bottle that has the, you know, the lines on it or whatever, but just figure out a way to just get it in.
Counter.
Yeah.
Right.
As easy as you can. And again, okay. I think like when, you know, if you can knock out a quarter of it, you know, 25% of it, just like first thing in the morning, that's such a big win for you. And that gets your mind going mm-hmm. like, okay, we're already a quarter of the way done. We can do this. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. That's true. It's so, true. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Betsy.
All right. Good call. You can do this. All right.
See ya. You take care. Thanks so much. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Oh my gosh, y'all. These were all such amazing calls tonight. So good. All right. And I think we're actually going to get out of here on time. Let me see if there's any 16 ounces before food too, just like before a meal, you know, for every meal. It's like, okay, down in 16 ounces. Sometimes that could mess with your hunger scale. So you just got to test it out and kind of experiment with it. But if that works for you, go for it. Yeah. No coffee before my 16 ounces. That's yeah. Rhonda. I was thinking about you, Rhonda, with all the little bottles of water. Wasn't this just a fun call tonight? Yeah, I mean, you could have the glass of water next to your bed where it's like, I don't get to get out of bed, even though I want to stay in bed. But yeah, it's like, okay, I don't get out of bed until I drink this water, right? There's just all kinds of little hacks, but whatever it is, you just start to develop a habit of it and you get it in. So, all right. Yeah, I saw y'all over here talking in the chat. So, okay, let me look at the Q&A and see if there's anything. There might be a couple of questions. Today, I fell into an old version of me. I kept stuffing my face with sugary snacks until I was very ill, sweating, nauseous, felt fainty. What is a thought I can use to stop myself? I know better, and I even think this will make me sick, but I still do it. First off, I want you to work on the judgment around it, right? To just work on seeing this as, this is just something that I do sometimes. That's how I think about my binges. Like, it's okay if I binge every once in a while. It's not something that has to go away. Totally. It's okay. That's where I just want you to be right now. It's just because I can hear judgment in your question. I hear you beating yourself up. I was sweaty and nauseous. Okay. Might happen sometimes. My stomach hurts. If I eat too much, that's our body just telling us, hey, you know, something going on here. So that's where I want you to start. And I mean, and thinking and saying, I know better, right? Does that thought serve you? You know, we all know better. We all know better. Sometimes we're also not perfect. And so just going from that place, being from that place of just non-judgment, some compassion for yourself. And then you can move forward with, okay, what do I want to tell myself in the moment? A thought you can tell yourself is, I can stop anytime I want. That's a pretty compassionate thought right there. But that's going to be a process of stopping, you know, of stopping, right? Because you have to start with just acceptance of where you are now with, okay, I had an overeat or a binge or whatever you want to call it. And it's okay because I'm going to learn from it and move forward. And then if I want to stop in the middle of it, I can. I can stop whenever I want. I'm always in control. So that's where I want you to start and do some journaling on that. But if you haven't done your discovery worksheet, that's job one for sure. Okay, I have sleepwalking problem, but also find myself sleep eating. Because it is a half-conscious eating, what would you suggest and how to do the thought changing to deal with it? I usually eat junk. Sometimes it is somewhat a binge before I get a grip on it, then I'm awake. So this is something I absolutely recommend that you post in the Facebook group about, because this is something that we have some members do. I mean, it's not super common, but it's definitely something I've coached on and things like that. So, I mean, if you're half conscious, I don't know that, you know, it may just be a matter of, you know, doing something to kind of get you back awake so that you can work on your thought work. But also there's just like, I mean, literally putting, you know, locks on the cabinets or moving the food. A lot of people will like move the food, where if you're half asleep, you know, your brain's just going to go to where it thinks the food is. And so if you're moving it or putting some sort of interrupter in place, then you know, that kind of jostles you like awake, or just jostles you out of your, you know, your half conscious state. So, but I would absolutely recommend that you post in the Facebook group. There are quite a few members who have dealt with this and have some really good experiences to share. I thought Corinne said you could count 16 ounces of black coffee towards your water. That's fine. That's fine. If you want to do that. I mean, I may be wrong. I don't know exactly what the rules are, but you know, if you want to count 16 ounces, go for it. Go for it. I mean, you know, it's better if it's decaf, but if not, then just start there. Start there for sure. So, just, you know, just think about like you can start there and then maybe you can build up to 64 ounces of water. I mean, water is definitely better than coffee, but yeah, absolutely start there. No big deal. Okay. All right, y'all, I'm going to get out of here and get some dinner. It's been fun. Rhonda's talking about her 4 bottles of water. And all right, guys. Oh, let's see. Gia says she used to sleep eat. She stopped when there was someone else in bed to wake up when I got up. Maybe try a weighted blanket. Okay. See, there's all kinds of little tips like that that you can get help from the folks in the Facebook group about. So for sure do that. All right, guys. It was fun. Talk to you later. This replay will be up sometime tomorrow, probably. And then our next call is tomorrow night with Corinne with the Breaking Self-Sabotage worksheets, the second set of worksheets she's going to be working on tomorrow night. So, all right. Talk to you guys later. See ya. Bye.